I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So they then wander into like a little clearing and they come across a band of nine thieves.
Oh, yeah, the greatest collection of actors.
Yes.
Until, I think, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, really.
I think you're right, yeah.
We said, haven't we? Cracker. Oscar Schindler, yeah. Green Bay's Vampire,
yeah.
Tucker Jenkins, and four stuntmen.
Four stuntmen, one who's particularly handy with the whip and likes to show you.
There's
every
two whip thing. Guys. Oh, yeah, I think there are two whip guys. It's a very weird, I remember even at the time thinking, why have they got two whip guys?
Indiana Jones. That's what it is.
Yes, yeah, it's very current, isn't it? Yes, yes, yeah, perverts.
Yeah.
It is, yes, of course. I hadn't really triggered that, but yes. But it's odd to have two. Like, they don't all have the, you know, you'd think they'd all have a speciality.
Yeah, because Robbie Coltrane, who we should drop now, dubbed by Michael Elphick.
In a baffling decision.
Baffling, because he sounds like Robbie Coltrane.
Yes.
Like, I've heard Robbie Coltrane do that accent. He does it as the Roller Disco guy in Young Ones. It's exactly the same.
Hmm. And there's no way Robbie Coltrane couldn't have done it himself.
No.
Did he do it Scottish and then they just decided they didn't want that? Or?
Maybe, but it must be that because I've heard him do a Cockney accent many times and he's good at it. So.
And it is literally only just watching it for this that I even twigged that it was dubbed.
Same. I had no idea.
It's, unlike Lizette Anthony, I just assumed, that's Robbie Coltrane doing that voice that he does. It's a very weird decision. Because Robbie Coltrane's good.
Yeah.
He's got some good face acting.
He's got a moustache and a high top haircut that everyone had.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. He looks a bit like a Vauxhall bouncer. But I think it's the 80s.
Is that the car everyone drove
in the
80s?
That's right. Yeah. To go over the potholes and all the white dogs.
Yeah, the Vauxhall bouncer.
Yeah.
Heavy suspension on that one.
Yeah, but Boone's voice. So we've got Boone's voice as well
Boone's
as Cracker.
Boone's voice. Oh my God, it's a plethora of 80s television entertainment.
Yeah.
In one gang.
I mean, they are a great... It is a great collection of people that they've...
Wow, there's...
A great collection of people.
There's four great lads and the rest of them are just fairly dull, aren't they?
Well, they are there to be killed.
That's true. They're
extraordinary. Yeah. It's like the Seven Samurai brought another five samurai along just to up the body count.
So we've already had, I think we've already, after this, they basically say, well, we're going to join up with you then because we're all criminals and we've all got like binds on. And Colwyn says, well, I could unlock all of those. And they're like, only the king can do that. And he says,
the king or his marshal.
Ken Marshall.
I'm both, says Colwyn. I did think, he goes, only the king or his marshal can unlock these chains. Well, that seems impractical.
Does, doesn't
for it? A prison system. Does he have to go, like, what if they, get really, does he have to travel around every time anyone wants to go to the loo?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, dear.
Well, we know, because there's only two places in Kroll, so it's not like a big deal.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That castle, that one castle, and then presumably another castle somewhere.
As long as none of them have to go and get the glaive, in which case he's not bothering because it's too far.
Yeah.
So he says, well, come on, lads. We're an army now.
He's great, Alan Armstrong, in this.
Love
I think
him.
He's, again, him and, Freddie Jones are sort of the ones he'd come away from, you know, remembering.
Just think, it was only a mere 16 years later where Alan Armstrong convincingly played, or was it the first? Maybe it was a sequel. Convincingly played a Middle Eastern man in The Mummy Returns.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Different times.
Different times.
Different times. And also, I do get Alan Armstrong confused with that one who was Yossa, who became the
Bernard Hill,
the King of Rohan. Mm. Yeah.
I was watching the first series of Happy Valley, and there's a lad in that who is identical to Alan Armstrong, found out as his son. He looks exactly like
yeah.
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know that's fine for a child, but to be exactly like the doppelganger of your father's a bit odd.
It is odd, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I turned it off. I thought, I can't watch this anymore.
Whereas Toby Jones does not look very much like Freddie Jones, does he?
No, he looks like Freddie Jones if he'd like been in a lift that collapsed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he climbed like, out and was like, I'm small.
Like you bought one of those, you know, grow your own dinosaur sponge games where you put them in water and then they grow up. But you took him out of water. You took your Freddie Jones out a little bit early. Yeah. And now you've got a Toby Jones.
Or Freddie Jones put that in the water and then and spunked in it.
Yeah.
Toby came out.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, talk about what Toby Jones' mum looks like, but she's.
I bet she's a stunner.
I bet she isn't.
Now, this is the year that it popped up on the BBC archive.
I got cancelled for talking about Toby Jones' mum.
The BBC archive, one of my favourite Twitter accounts, posted an interview with Toby Jones was doing Bugsy Malone in 1982.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and his dad was doing Krull. I know who I'd rather watch.
God, yeah.
Yeah, Krull. Mm. It was Krull, definitely.
He was in, what, the film?
No, I think they were doing like a proper like West
End
production.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
But he's on Pebble Mill, presumably as a, looking at Toby Jones now, presumably as a 30-year-old.
Yes. Even then he was on television all the time.
Quick fact check. Toby Jones was on Pebble Mill in December 1982 promoting a production of Tin Pan Alley with the Children's Music Theatre Company, not Bugsy Malone. Just thought I'd put it out before someone else in the comments does. Enjoy the rest of the podcast. Goodbye. He was in the recent Indiana Jones film, of course. As Baz.
Yes, yeah.
Put that playing down, Baz.
Playing Phoebe Waller-Bridge's dad?
Yes.
Uncle? Grandfather? I don't know, yeah.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge's dad. Because she asked her dad, Toby Jones, why does your friend Indiana Jones look like he's 30 but talk like he's 80?
Yeah, and why has he got that weird way of walking?
Yeah, he's got the rickets.
Why does he run strangely?
I think Harrison Ford's always run strangely, don't you?
Do you know, I never thought about it.
If you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, the bit where he's running, you know, he's telling the guy to start the plane up when he's running at the beginning, he's got a bit of a weird gait to him. It's a bit rickety.
Oh, like Lee Evans.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of running for yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Harrison Ford, beautiful man. Love him.
Yeah, absolutely.
To,
yeah.
To the moon and back, but got a bit of a weird gait. You should see his garage. So they all join up with him. Cyclops joins up too.
Finally.
They say, oh, you've been watching us. He says, yes. Do you want to join up? Yes.
Yes. Because we find out the truth about the Cyclops, that they've been cursed.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't they?
Yeah.
They did a deal once many years ago. Mm. His ancestors lived on another planet. We know about planets. Mm. And somehow. Yeah. And... they had two eyes, and they made a deal with the Beast if they could see the future, and they'd only have one eye. Yeah. And then he tricks them into thinking all they can see in the future is their time of their own death.
That's a rubbish deal.
Yeah, but it's a sort of... it's, again, another bit of just sort of something thrown at this film. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. A sort of, let's have some of this. This seems like a good... This seems like something that might be in a fantasy film. And it is, but it's a very bleak... sort of part of the story.
It is. And in the Kingdom of the Beast, the one-eyed man is king. Sorry, the two-eyed man is king, which is Colwyn.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I think he's king, whatever happens.
Yeah. So Colwyn's... So then Freddie Jones says, we're going to have to go and see the seer.
Yeah.
And
who sees the seer?
Yeah, because we need to establish where the fortress is going to be because it moves around so much. And the seer can see the future, not like the Cyclops, but the Cyclops can't see the seer's future. He's dying.
Yeah, he knows he's going to die in a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So they walk through a wall.
Yeah.
And Alan Armstrong's like, what witchcraft is this? I'm a northern man in a fantasy film and I'm terrified of everything.
Yes, but also the Ergo, the Magnificent, as a magician, is also going, oh, I'm not going in there. That looks scary.
Yeah.
You just, you know, you turned into a goose a minute ago. You're surely cognizant.
He did cognizant turn into a goose, magic. You're right, yeah. Don't know why he turned into a goose.
Oh, it's for funnies. For funnies.
Yeah.
To amuse the easily amused Colwyn. That's who will right. laugh at any.
Oh, he loves Ergo, doesn't he? Yeah.
Oh, my God, he finds Ergo funny.
If Colwyn were to have a late-night chat show like Johnny Thingy, what's his name? Johnny Grayson. What's he called?
Johnny Grayson?
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson.
If Colwyn had his own show like Johnny Carson, he would have Ergo as his like Ed McMahon, wouldn't he?
Oh, God, he'll be chuckling along. He'd be like, or actually, all the other way around, presumably, actually. Wouldn't Ergo be making the jokes and then Colwyn would just be on the corner slapping his...
Colwyn would be like, Colwyn would be like, so, Burt Reynolds, you've made Smoking the Bandit 2. Hey, what about that Ergo? And Ergo would turn into like a big pair of like ducks or something. And they'd all go,
Or a smoking bandit. A
smoking bandit. Yeah, a Mexican bandit smoking.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we can be pretty clear that the actor who plays Colwyn doesn't find Ergo's activities in any way funny.
No, I don't think he's got the...
No, it's some of his worst acting in the film is when he's going, this is what humans do.
Can't. Cut. So then we meet Titch. So we meet the seer, who's a very pale old man. Quite scary.
Yeah, very extraordinarily creepy character.
If you...
Even before he becomes evil.
God, when he gets evil, it's even more terrifying.
Oh.
But he's got an assistant called Titch. How they met, I don't know. Where Titch came from, don't know. But he's hanging around with a child.
Yeah.
But it's not like that.
No.
And Ergo says, hey, boy, have you got anything to eat? Starving. He says, no, I haven't. He goes, you mean you live with a soothsayer and you've got nothing to eat? He goes, I can give you this cinnamon bar. It looks like a turd.
Yeah, or one of those naked bars they have now.
Yeah, they look like turds.
But also, this is a bit where they've got him saying things like, have you not got any gobstoppers Twixes? Or it's just very white.
Surely you must have a Pop-Tart back there.
You must have one of those... mini dime bars that you get.
A bag of Whisper Minis. But he hasn't. He's only got a little cinnamon bar. But this is where they're getting this nice connection, because Ergo, obviously, tall in stature, small in mind, whatever it was, the other way around. Him and Titch, they have a natural bond because they're both children at heart.
Yeah.
And it's sweet. It's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So the Emerald Seer is what he's called. He uses his green crystal to see where the fortress will be. And he's like, it's going to be here tomorrow. But just as they're like, oh, good, a beast's hand appears, crushes the emerald.
Yeah, and we finally get some indication that maybe the beast is worth the effort of fighting.
We're rolling this giant rock up the hill,
Did they get, even make a whole beast costume, or is it just, do we ever see it?
Well, I watched a thing on YouTube with the effects person talking about the designing of the beast costume, and he went into great detail talking about the design of it, and it's quite cool. It's got like, the glove has got like two hands basically in one. He's built this system.
Oh, because just like a rubbish glove.
It looks like a rubbish glove.
It just looks like it's got too many fingers. Yeah.
But this is his intention, okay? And it's got the chest plate. It's got a woman inside, so the body proportions are strange looking compared to what a man would be. Apparently she was a dancer. Weird. She had a very thin waist. The chest bit has got like pumping organs going around. The brain sort of moves.
You don't see that.
Said, and they shot it in the dark with a weird lens, so you can't see any of it.
Yeah.
But I think that might be a good reason.
I seem to remember years ago when it came out, Krull, wasn't there? I think there was a competition on Blue Peter to design what you think the beast might look like.
Oh, really? And they used some kid's picture.
Yeah, maybe they did. It's
a big stick man at the end.
It's about the same, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it might as well be.
It's, I mean, I don't, you know, spoilers. Spoilers, if you're watching this along with the film, it's going to get disappointing.
It is. I mean, in fact, I hadn't seen this film for so long when I watched it the other night that I was disappointed all over again because I'd forgotten the ending completely. So, yeah, the beast crushes the stone and they then go, well, we're going to have to go through that swamp because we're going to have to go somewhere.
To the Emerald Temple.
To the Emerald Temple.
Or Emerald Shrine or whatever it is, where the Emerald Seer is that is most powerful.
Oh, we've done him already, though.
Yeah, but they're taking him there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, sorry, you're right, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, the beast can't reach him there.
So then they get to this swamp.
I don't know why he doesn't live there.
Oh, I don't know. Permanent. Yeah, that, you're right. The swamp apparently interferes with his 5G or whatever, so he can't see what they're up to in there. And then Colin goes, how can anything grow in this disgusting swamp? And he says that, surrounded by trees.
But they're dead trees, aren't they? They're dead trees already. They've grown dead.
Oh, right, okay. But this
How can anything grow in this disgusting James Bond stage?
Yeah, this is the 007 stage. Yeah, now, this next shot, I think, is very cool. And I remember being quite upset by this as a child, where the slayers slowly rise out of the water.
Yes.
That looked great.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, their outline is, you know, it is, they are sort of, I mean, obviously, they are sort of slightly Stormtrooper ripoffs, but they are frightening in their own sort of way until they move or do anything, in which case they look like blokes who can't see.
And when you realise they're just like a cockroach in a robot suit?
Yeah.
Don't know, but we don't find out enough about them, sadly.
No.
And it's this bit where I think we need, like I said earlier, we need like a Darth Vader type person because we need someone to be leading them and someone to be focused on because they're so... There's so many of them, and they're so boring.
Yeah.
And also, they have laser guns and swords. And the laser guns, they shoot one of the bandits immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm like, lead with the guns. Why aren't you just shooting everybody?
Well, they only fire once, you see, and then they have to turn them around and hit them with the spear at the other end. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember later on where they're firing sort of volleys out of the thing. They're all lining up. Sort of slightly embarrassing. It is embarrassing. We should design a better weapon.
But Breslau has his trident, and he's just taking him out, and he's doing really well because he's like a sworn enemy of the Slayers, isn't he?
Yeah, for some reason. Oh, because of the whole eye.
Because of the eye, because they conned him.
The eye thing, yeah, because of the con thing. I mean, also, this is the first of the dead sidekicks, isn't it? We don't even know which one of this.
Yep, I have no idea.
The guy with the bow, I don't even remember which one he was.
No.
I think the two whip guys survive because we see them whipping.
We do, because the problem comes along and they whipped it.
None of the actors who worked again have died yet. Right. So, I don't know who that one was.
No.
Maybe they just added one in.
Yeah, I think so.
Because we lose another one in a bit, don't we?
We do. In the quicksand, which they're going to now. Oh, before they kill all the slayers and they're walking through the swamp and very sweet moment. Old Breslau's got Titch on his shoulders.
Yeah.
It's nice. I never realised that Bernard Breslau is 6'7".
He's huge, yeah.
I never realised he was that big.
A giant. Yeah.
I've been to his grave.
Oh, is it long?
Yeah, no. He was cremated.
Oh.
It's gold as green.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Well, not nice. It's not terrible that he died, but well, that's why he's the giant in Hawk the Slayer. They didn't need to do anything. They just stood him next to someone who was short.
Yeah, well, I just thought he was a big guy. I didn't realise he was that tall.
No.
Crikey. So, yeah, Titch says, Ergo says, look, if you could have anything, what would you wish for? I'd have, as you mentioned earlier, a giant gooseberry pie.
Yeah.
And Titch says, I'd have a puppy. And Ergo's like, what a rubbish wish. But he's got a little glint in his eye as he says it.
He does. He has a glint in his eye because we know he can turn himself into things.
Yeah, it's a sweet moment. That's a sweet bit of script coming up. But then Cyclops says, well, he says, what would you like? And he says, ignorance.
All right, mate.
Yeah, Jesus. Calm down.
Not to be having this conversation.
Pass ag at all. So then we get the quicksand event.
Yeah.
This looks like it would have been awful to film.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolute
horrible.
Nightmare.
Big pool of water just full of, like, wood chippings and mud.
Yeah.
Gross.
In a giant, unheated soundstage.
Stinks, I bet.
Yeah.
This is 1983 as well.
Exactly. There's no... I mean, maybe some of them have got, you know, Insignia shampoo and shower gel. Yeah. One all over smell, but no one else is. No. There's no deodorant, is there?
No.
In the 1980s.
No. But it's all over now.
Yes, it is all over now. Yes.
So while they're dealing with the quicksand event, this seer, he gets taken over by.
He sang chandelier. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
He gets taken over by a doppelganger beast slayer thing.
Honest. It's the stuff of nightmares, this
bit. It is, yeah.
It's so unpleasant, this next 5 minutes or whatever.
Because the seer's thing, if you've not seen this film, is he's constantly got his eyes closed, like he's smelling something really bad, like, oh. Yes. But for this bit, the doppelganger opens its eyes and it's got like jet black eyes.
Yeah, absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. And kind of does that kind of...
But also the... Yeah, so the doppelganger murders the actual seer.
Mm.
And it goes on and on, doesn't it? He chokes him somehow with his claws.
Yes.
And he looks like he's having a... He goes blue in the face.
He does.
It's absolutely really close up. Just like if people get off on old men being choked, then this is the film that they want to see. Because mainstream theatre, just the mainstream cinema, just doesn't show you this sort of
doesn't
thing
cater to
anymore.
It,
no. Another 10 minutes, please. Okay. Longer than climbing up the mountain, the choking.
So yeah, he's killed the seer. So Rel, the Cyclops, is having a wander about. The seer's leading them through the swamp now, the doppelganger, which they don't realize. And Rel, who's Bernard Breslau, he stops for a little break and he notices something bubbling in the quicksand.
What is it?
And he looks and it goes bubble, bubble, bubble. And then the dead seer comes up to the surface. Blop.
Oh, shit.
And then he just gets the fucking motor on and starts running.
It's amazing, people, because obviously he probably can't see very well in...
Well, it looks like a stuntman wearing a Frank Sidebottom helmet when he's running.
Yeah, so it's a different... You don't think that's Bernard Breslau. I do wonder, yes, it only really struck me recently that, of course, obviously that's a stuntman. When Bernard Breslau's doing anything dangerous, they're not dragging Bernard Breslau around on the ground.
No, but apparently they literally had to drag him around for any bits near the water because he couldn't see and he could easily just walk in. So they had to kind of guide him as they were doing the scenes.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Seed! It's all right, Bernie. So, yeah, he runs in and he throws his spear right into the doppelganger seer.
Mm. He's confident.
Yeah.
He's definitely confident that
definitely.
That's...
Imagine if that would have been the doppelganger. He turns around and goes, I killed him! Ah!
Or the seer that went, oh, I forgot to tell you I killed a doppelganger. Yeah.
Put it in the swamp. Oh.
But they do make sure to show that the evil doppelganger is trying to kill Colwyn.
Yes.
As this spear is flying. Just
and
so no
when
one goes,
the doppelganger
what the fuck?
Dies, it is fucking disturbing.
Oh, bubbly head. His head bubbles.
Mm.
That stayed with me, that image.
Yeah, because it looks like he'd been in the... dead and in the water for about a week. His face just swells out and just looks horrendous.
Yeah. And then he bursts and disappears into the ground.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. PG.
Yeah. PG. Yeah. Titch is sad. He's like, he was my only family. And then the Cyclops says, no, who says it to him? Colwyn says to him, don't be sad. We're your family now.
Right, yeah.
And he was a bit boring as well. And you know what? You hanging around with an old man in a cave is not a good vibe.
It's weird, right? isn't it? Come with us and die.
Yeah, come with us and die. So then, just as he's feeling a bit sad about the seer, what comes out of the bushes but a cute little beagle puppy?
Aww. Yeah. I know.
And the Cyclops looks down at this moment and gives a little smile. Because he's already set up to this point that You're all right, Ergo. You cheer up people. You cheered up this child.
Yes.
I like you.
There's a clunky bit early on, isn't it, where Ergo criticizes him for you don't make jokes of people.
Mm.
You don't know. He says, or you make jokes of people who are already your friends.
That's right.
So I can't remember it. It wasn't worth writing down.
You should say the
actually,
cruelest...
a lot of this script isn't worth writing down.
No, it's not. The cruelest thing, of course, Ergo, is that I have one eye up here, but two down there.
I see everything going in and going out.
Imagine if you had two winky holes, so when you were weeing, you'd go do one in each direction. That would be quite awkward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, could you imagine the state of a gent's toilets?
Imagine.
They're bad enough now.
They're bad enough now.
It's bifurcated urethras all over the place. Good Lord.
God. Yeah, so Yanir says, well...
Or are you saying you can piss and ejaculate at the same time?
You could, couldn't you? You could compartmentalise them.
You get the dream.
You get the dream. It's like those machines that make ice creams.
Oh, yes, I see, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So Ynir says, well, we can't go this way because the beast knows we're here and everything. And also the sea is dead now. So I must seek the Widow of the Web alone.
Yeah, and he's off up the mountain now.
He's going up the mountain on his own now. And we get another little montage of him climbing a mountain.
Or the mountain climber dressed as a different character climbing the mountain again. Yeah.
So then, as he's climbing up the mountain... these women appear out of nowhere.
Well, they're one of them's, Oskar Schindler's...
Oh, yeah, he says, I've got a woman who lives
He's polygamous,
here.
Isn't he? Yeah.
He's polygamous. Yeah. He's got lots of wives.
That's right, yeah,
It's like Henry VIII.
Yeah. Fact,
it's big of you, it's big of him.
Exactly.
So they're being tended to by lots of women. And you know, that usual thing of have some chicken. Come here, you, rolling around.
Yeah.
And then one comes up to Colwyn and says, would you like anything, my lord? Chicken? Mead? Some titty? And he says, no, thank you.
No.
But what he doesn't know is the beast is showing all this to Lizette Anthony.
While she's trapped in a green screen.
She's trapped in a green screen. And he's thinking, the beast is thinking, look, I'm going to show him shagging to you so you'll know that he's not an honourable man. But of course, because it's Colwyn...
Yeah.
He's like, no thanks.
He doesn't step
woman.
Away, does he?
No.
He's quite close to her when he's saying no.
Yeah.
It feels like maybe he could have, you know, it's a bit of a red flag. He could have just stepped away.
He might
have. Made it clearer to her much earlier on that he wasn't interested in.
He might have came in his pants. He might have gone, no thank you.
Well, you know, we know what princes are like, don't we?
We do.
We know what princes are like. He's probably thinking, well, Lizette Anthony's out of the picture. All I need to do is, I can have my way here. And then all I need to do is Photoshop her. Picture of Lizette Anthony with our kids and we'd be all right.
Yeah,
everyone will believe me.
Oh, I've got an old parchment earlier that shows us in a garden centre together.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Hang on, that's the beast. What's that? He's refusing to peg this woman.
Yes.
Because at the moment the beast has displayed his powers to Lizette Anthony by transforming himself into Colwyn.
Oh, yes, with red eyes.
Yeah.
Now, that's the one successful element of the beast I like, is the red contact lenses with the black lizard eyes.
Yes, yeah.
That
Though
looks good.
He is the actual beast only has one eye. I don't know why this beast has two eyes. He's only got one red eye, hasn't he?
No, he's got two.
Has he?
Yeah.
And I thought, well,
don't know where you were looking.
Oh, God, let's not get onto
this. When you bent over to pick up the glaive.
One red eye, yes, yes, yes. See, I'm very close to Lizette, aren't they? I don't like it.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's go back to...
Let's not talk about that.
Let's go back to his threat to stop all the killing and burning.
That's right. Which
we've not seen any of.
No. No. There's not even like a stock footage of some a village burning or anything. Nothing.
No. It's an odd... Yeah.
She says, ah, well, you see, my Colwyn, love will triumph over all, see?
Yep.
Talking of which, Ynir reaches the web. I don't mean he goes on the internet.
No, no.
He goes into a cave that's full of big spider webs.
Sort of an abandoned Go Ape facility.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Mm. Terrific.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, this is the point where we should discuss how powerful Francesca Annis' agent was at the time.
Yes.
Because she gets a separate billing, doesn't she?
She does.
As the mistress of the web. Or
I think maybe that's guilt, because when I watched the interview with the special effects man, he said that she was in like 5 hours of makeup every day.
Oh, God, to be old.
For no reason. Yeah. And it doesn't even look that great, let's be honest.
No, it really looks rubbish. Mm. It looks like they've put lots of makeup on Francesca Annis so they can show her young again.
It reminds me of that Fast Show bit where they've just drawn a couple of lines. And goes, yes. I'm an old man. yeah, it's sad, really, because I didn't realise this, but she was later married to Ralph Fiennes.
Yes, yeah. And he left her, didn't he, he left her for some. I don't know.
Or I read that.
It's not a gossip. Let's not get into gossip. I can't remember.
There's some good gossip on Ralph Fiennes' Wikipedia, actually, that I didn't know about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, him and an air.
Really called Ralph.
Him and an air stewardess being caught at it. Mile High Club.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
He was like, hello, Miss Jones. Yes. So
nice in Schindler's List.
I know. He's so lovely. You wouldn't imagine him doing that. So yeah, so what the DL here is that Freddie Jones's ex-girlfriend is the widow of the web.
Yeah.
They had a child together that she killed. So her punishment is to forever live in the middle of this web.
Yeah. I mean, who imposed that punishment?
I don't know, because there's no kind of court system in the land or anything.
It's a sort of, it's a sort of Greek... myth style.
And because she's got this hourglass that when she turns it over, the spider stops attacking.
Yeah. I mean, we do need someone to look after the spider hourglass.
Yes.
Should we get this? Can we punish someone to do that for the rest of their life? It doesn't seem to make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
And he left because he had his ambitions, duty, which appeared to be to go live on a mountain. Yeah, not do anything. Yeah.
You're not still climbing up mountains, are you? That's what she said. Yes.
Yes.
Stood in the web.
Yes. Yeah. It's a little bit pro-life anyway, isn't this? That she killed the baby.
Well, we don't know how old the baby... Was it the baby?
Yeah, no, it could have been... No, it was a child, wasn't it?
It could have been any age. Could have been an accident.
Presumably it was a baby. She was still... It wasn't like she was got angry again 10 years down the line and, ran him over at soccer practice.
She could have sat on it by accident.
Yeah. Does happen. Does happen.
I had a dog that accidentally... sat on its puppy and killed it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It had loads. So it's Darwin.
Yeah. Well, that's built in, isn't it? Yeah. Twice as... half as many as nipples, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
That's your basic child. But the... I mean, he's... Freddie Jones is very relaxed about it. He says, look, if I got angry with every woman who'd killed one of my children, I'd have no one left to talk to.
She's like, are you still having children? No, I don't do it that way anymore.
No, if I didn't still fancy you, why would I see you as a young woman?
Yeah. At no point, has he said, let's get you out of here.
No.
He's very accepting of the fact that she's stuck in this web.
Yeah. Could we not both go? No, okay. No.
You've got a chair and a dressing table. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm. And a mirror.
A big pile of shit around the back.
Oh, God, can you imagine the stink in there?
Oh, yeah. Oof.
Maybe the spider eats it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Spider came
magic
in one
John,
day.
Magic John.
Yeah.
There are no toilets. There are no toilets on Krull.
No. Spider came in. Look, I know we've got this. We're sharing this web. Do you mind if I eat your poo? Do you mind? I'm starving.
Do you know what? Do you know what would actually help me out? That's brilliant. I was I didn't want to ask because I thought, well, it's a bit weird, isn't it? But great, yeah, go for it. Yeah,
it
yeah,
seems
yeah.
we've got some sort of symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Also, do you have the Wi-Fi?
No.
Oh, but I am always on the web.
Always on the web.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, I'm stuck with an absolute fucking idiot spider.
Yeah.
Hello. Morning.
Oh, men. Yeah. What are they like?
You been up to anything lately? Oh.
Don't kill any babies, I wouldn't.
I ate all mine, of course.
Yeah. Men can't live with them.
Spiders eat men, don't they?
Men spiders, yeah.
Men spiders, yeah.
Yeah. And hobbitses.
And hobbitses, yeah. So, yeah, basically, he comes to her because she was able to... She's got a very powerful ability to be able to find where the fortress will be next.
Yeah, and that's it. She doesn't appear to have any other abilities. Just
no.
Killing men who come to visit her. Why is anyone coming to visit her? What else can she offer other than just where this one thing will be tomorrow?
I don't know. She could maybe fill up the football pools.
Yeah.
What's the numbers for the lottery?
Yeah.
I brought you a Twix.
I mean, timing-wise, I would have suggested to Freddie Jones to maybe... get all the way outside her place just before dawn or whatever.
Yeah.
And then right at the beginning of the day, asked her where the castle was.
Yes.
Just to give themselves a little bit more time.
Yes.
To find it. But, oh man, that's not me. You know, I don't know.
You know, we'd all like... It took him half a day to climb that mountain.
Hindsight, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, 'cause we saw him. And now he's got to get out holding a...
Well, she smashes the hourglass.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says, because basically we keep hearing that no one's gone to see the woman in the web and lived.
No.
And we know why, because the spider eats them on the way out.
Yeah.
So she smashes the hourglass and pours the sand into his hands, at which point he'd have gone, could I have not just taken the hourglass? Because I've got to climb yeah. on these
Can
webs.
I have, like, half the hourglass?
I'm going to need my hands.
Yes, could you? This is the big question this film asks is, can you do an assault course with a palm full of popping candy?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can, but you can't live.
No, because he'll die when he drops all this. This is important to remember, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a weird rule, that.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand her dying, later on, but not him.
Particularly also later on when he dies, and his hand's still full of... He's still got loads of sand in his hand.
There's some in there,
It's all stuck to his glove.
Yeah.
Which is a way around the system. He should have played the system, shouldn't he?
I mean, if it's anything like when I walked on sand, there'd be loads in his shoe as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is a sort of... You know, if he was on Taskmaster, this is exactly the sort of... You know, get around that he'd be looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine like Richard Herring doing this.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have ham hands, though, so it'd be no good. So the spider eats Francesca Annis.
Yeah.
And he escapes, as you say. He makes it all the way back down the mountain.
Then all goes the way back down the mountain?
All the way back down
with one hand.
Yeah. And then says, collapses, and then says to them all, the fortress will be here. I'm going now, bye.
To which Colvin says, we'll bury him here.
Yeah.
As opposed to what? Just carry him. We'll carry him around.
He might have made a good weapon, though.
Yeah, let's eat him.
I think.
Sorry, what?
Think
sorry, Colvin, what? Yeah.
I think Liam
Neeson. We don't know the. Go on.
No, I was going to say, I think Liam Neeson probably ate him, like cut off one of his bum cheeks and started eating it like a burger.
Yeah, or married him. Married the corpse. He's a jolly polygamist, isn't he? I think.
It's a good name for a pub.
Yeah.
So they say, well, we've got to get to the fortress by morning. How on earth are we going to get there this quickly? And Bernard Bressel says, we will take the fire mares. They can ride 1,000 kilometres in 10 minutes.
Yeah, fire mares. Absolute fire mare, mate. Oh, absolute God, it was an absolute fire mare.
Fire mares are just shy horses. You set fire to the hair around their hooves.
And they just go like the clappers.
They do.
Yeah. I mean, particularly, they're all carrying, you know, carts with the beer barrels on them as well. It's terrible.
Terrible. But there's a good sequence where they're riding the fire mares.
Yeah, clearly, they catch the fire mares.
Yeah, they're on like a blue screen, but the horse is clearly on like a running machine or something.
Yeah, and this is where the stuntmen come into the row, aren't they? There's obviously one guy who can ride yes. standing up.
Mm.
He's been hired to do that, so he does
whip
that.
Whip man, yeah.
The whip, one of the whip guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Rowdy McCulloch or something, whatever these guys are named. They're all got extraordinary stuntmen names.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and this is also the point where Bernard Bristol, for some fucking reason, goes, enjoy the fire, Mayors, lads. I can't come with you because I've seen how I'm going to die and I've got to stay here.
I'm going to die just standing in this field. Just going to stand in here for a bit and then die. Right, okay. Do you know how it happens? No. Oh, well, probably.
Thanks, because we're going to go to the fortress
bummed
now.
By a horse or
bummed
something
by
like
a
that.
Horse. I'll tell you what a way to go, eh?
Yeah.
I hope it gives me a reach around.
Not with the fire mare, you'd burn it off.
Oh,
but
my God. This,
the fire mare's bit, I do think, every time I've seen it since, the last few years, that bit where they're riding across a field of corn.
Yes.
With a stream of fire out behind them. It's very picturesque, but you can't imagine it like a farmer running out and going, oi!
Yeah.
You're my bloody land!
I tell you what, if anyone lived on Kroll, they'd be livid.
I know, but luckily they don't.
I don't, no.
You don't see anyone in any point at this point. And also, if you rode a very, very fast horse for 1,000 leagues, your balls would be smashed to shit.
Oh my God.
There's no... Can you imagine going up and down like that on the...
Also...
On a giant... saddle.
No, you get to your late 40s and your back would be fucked as well. You'd be like, oh, I wish I hadn't ridden that fire mare.
These people will not be able to walk at the end of this fire mare.
I should say as well, when we talked about the corn being on fire, because this is 1983, what we should have had is when they rode past and everything was on fire, you should have had a lady and a man sit up, both topless.
Yes.
And the lady then covers her breasts.
Or, someone looking at a bottle of whiskey, looking at them, throwing a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, perfect. The man from the old John Smith's adverts that was always in Superman doing that.
Yeah.
I think he was in View to a Kill and he did that as well.
And the pigeon from
Moonraker.
Octopussy. Moonraker, yeah. Pigeon from Moonraker.
So they arrive at the Black Fortress. And as they start storming the fortress, the Slayers
fight back. More mountaineering.
More mountaineering.
More mountaineering.
Just what we were looking for. Slayers in white costumes, as you said earlier, poke their heads out and start firing at them. And then we cut to the Cyclops riding his horse really fast, coming to help.
Yeah.
What was the point of that?
Well, it's to show how brave he is, isn't it? Because he's in great pain if he decides to go against his fate.
Stupid.
Yeah, well,
I mean, from a scriptwriting point of view, what's the point of having the... Because we're going with the Joseph Campbell framework of a film. Because you have to have a point where someone, rejects the quest, but then comes back.
Yeah.
But to do that within the space of 30 seconds takes away any of that peril.
Yeah. But I suppose, how many people have died by now? Cracker? Has Cracker died?
He's not died yet, but he's about to.
No, he's arriving, just as they're arriving, yeah.
Yeah.
And Whip Guy number one goes next.
Whip Crack away and... Whipcracker one.
But yeah, so I mean, I always found this quite moving. Bernard Breslau just sort of, maybe because it's Bernard Breslau or a man in a Bernard Breslau suit.
But I think the horse riding is not Bernard Breslau.
No, because he's going something on that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really whacking the horse with his legs as well. I don't imagine Bernard would do that.
No, he's kicking ass and taking names, isn't he?
He is. And also, when he turns
shot.
Up, he gets shot, but it doesn't bother him.
No.
No effect on him.
It's good stuff.
But then he goes out in the worst way possible.
Yes.
Absolute worst way possible. Absolutely. Like, if he'd have come back and then gone, I'm just going to nip in this cupboard, and they opened it 10 minutes later and he'd hug himself while wanking, that would be less embarrassing than what happens.
Being crushed to death.
By a door.
So shit.
But in a way, it's a foreshadowing of how awful the ending's going to be.
Yeah, because you get at any point they could have pulled him out of that or pushed him.
Or he could have jumped out, anything.
Yeah, and there's a point where Alan Armstrong is still trying to help him, but Colwyn's just fucked off. Leave him.
Completely left him.
The door hasn't even shut yet.
He knows his fate, and Bernard's like, no, this isn't what I saw. I died in an explosion. I don't know what this is.
I can just go back to that field now, surely.
Anyway, bye. Dead.
Yeah, terrible. Awful. And we've already lost three people.
Yeah, because as you say, Cracker's dead.
Cracker's dead.
One of the whip guys is dead.
Yeah.
No, but then Breslau's entirely crushed.
Yeah. So then they have this battle. The Ergo transforms into a tiger because Titch is being attacked. And he kills loads of slayers.
Well, because the inside of the Black Fortress is a strange place, isn't it? Mm. It's sort of windy, you know.
It's like one of those fun fairs where there's different levels and everything's strange.
Yeah, and it's got weird men wandering around. Yeah. So very like a fun fair in any ways. But yes, there's that bit where they fall down a gap.
Yes.
The floor moves for no apparent reason and they fall down a gap and then Colwyn's pulled back up.
Yes.
And it looks quite dangerous.
Yeah, and you've got those spikes coming out, slowly creeping towards people's bodies, which is quite disturbing.
Oh, that's later on. Yeah. Only it is a sort of, it just doesn't seem to have any sort of logic to it.
No.
Once you're inside that, because they don't seem to be going anywhere or following any signs other than crossing the big bridge.
No, the big bridge. It feels like we're trying to say that the fortress is sort of part of the beast. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yes, yeah. And in any other film could maybe, delve into that at some point, but, you know.
But no, we haven't got time for that because we've got to get Colwyn going into the little dome that Lizette Anthony's trapped in.
Yes.
And they're like, well, how are we going to get her out of there? And he goes, I know exactly how.
Here comes the glaive, everybody. This is going to be so exciting. We've been building up to this. This is the, you know, this is the star of the show. It's like the lightsaber.
Yes.
Kids everywhere are going to want one of these.
Yeah. So you've basically got a sander.
Oh, God.
And he has to stand there and watch while it spins at the end of this dome and cuts a hole in it.
He just holds his hand out for the rest of the film. That's all he does.
Like he's got a kestrel.
Checking what, or
flies off, lands on a twig and comes back.
Like a welder.
Yeah.
Like a D&D welding. Just drone is the word I was looking for. Yeah, it's just a sort of like he's got a remote control car that he's running on.
But just when you're thinking the glaive's a bit shit, he goes in, kisses Lizette, they run out, and then he goes, "Oh, actually, because you can hear the beast is coming through the other door." So he throws the glaive, and what happens is the glaive flies up, hits some rocks, and they fall down. You think, great! But then it goes up and hits more rocks, and they fall down. Okay. Another lot of rocks, and they fall down.
It stays up there for quite a while, doesn't it?
Like, just one would have been fine, lads, for pacing, just so we can get out of here.
Before this, we get a vision of what the exciting scenes might have been, where he's throwing the glaive around like it's supposed to be thrown around, and taking out slayers left, right, and centre.
That's right. Disintegrating them as well.
Yeah, wouldn't this have been more useful when all those slayers were shooting at you a bit earlier?
Yes.
Killing everyone.
Yeah.
There's at least two people who would still be alive if you'd thought of this. Because one guy just dies running across the bridge, doesn't he?
That's
right. In long shot.
Yeah.
So they've already lost, I think it was whip guy number two, probably.
Yeah. But.
Yeah.
So then, as he's with Lissa, the beast appears, giant. And he goes, don't worry. And he throws the glaive. But the beast starts shooting things out of its mouth.
Yeah, or is it its mouth? Yeah, it's his mouth, yeah. Because it's very hard to tell because obviously this is shot at the back of... It seems at the back of a room.
Yeah.
So structurally, Colwyn is with us at one end of the school hall.
Yes.
And the beast is behind a screen, behind something else.
Yes.
In the dark.
Mm. You can't see it very well.
No, it's really, really cheap.
And then eventually the glaive spins around him and then eventually kind of nestles in its chest and then it just collapses.
Yeah, yeah.
It literally
sort of hovers in front of him in a bit of a, what am I going? Which way am I going? Stabs him. Yeah, it's rubbish.
It reminded me a bit, except in this film it was done much better, of in the end of Clash of the Titans with the Kraken.
Yeah.
When you've got Pegasus sort of flying around him and the little owl.
Yes.
Where you've got real... Because that ending's very memorable because it's got a nice build-up to it. And then,
Yeah.
But this, it literally just flies up to him, spins around a bit, embeds itself in his chest, and then he collapses.
Yeah.
So then, because we've been told all the way through that the glaive will kill the beast, right? So then when the beast is lying there, he says to her, let's complete our wedding ceremony. the ritual.
Yeah.
They do this. Oh, and he tries to get the glaive back, but it won't come out of the beast's chest.
He sort of stands for ages going, come on, come on. And actually, at this point, Colwyn is displaying more emotion than he has at any other point in the film, is that he's disappointed that he's lost his glaive.
Lost his glaive that he fought so, climbed so high for.
Yeah, and he does a really funny... fuck's sake, acting. Before he has to walk all the way... I've got to walk all the fucking way over to the beast now, do I?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Jesus. Yeah. Oh, God. And then the beast is all...
So then, after all, this is what's coming. So annoying about this is that he can't get the glaive back. So him and Lyssa complete their wedding ceremony. Now suddenly he can shoot fire out of his hands.
Yeah. Sorry, how long have you been able to... Oh, just now. Okay.
Just now.
Just now, because of the wedding ceremony. Right, okay.
And what did the glaive do ultimately? Not much. You could have thrown a knife at him and it would have had the same effect.
No, it knocked down those rocks.
Oh, yeah, knocked down the rocks.
Briefly.
True. But he burned...
Because off screen, in a different part of the, you know, the fortress, the rest of the gang are getting squished. Dodd Carty and the Green Bay's vampire are being murdered, aren't they? But with spikes.
Well, luckily Green Bay and Todd make it out, but the other guy, who I don't even know who he is, gets horribly squished.
He's the one with a knife. He likes knives.
He loves knives. Yeah.
Dickon, is he called?
Dickens. Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens. Yeah. It was a weird choice, but I think they made it work. Just throw everything in. Yeah. For the history fans, they love it.
He says, this a better thing I have done, what I have never done before. That's what he says.
Yeah. And that and this.
Yeah. You've got to pick a pocket or two, he says, as he dies.
Mm.
Beautiful. So then, they burn the beast to death with the new power. Well, at which point you're thinking, if you'd have got married at the beginning, we could have been saved all of this.
Yeah.
And we didn't need the glaive because it didn't do anything. It's very annoying. So the beast is dead. And then the beast's death frees everybody else who's trapped downstairs with the spikes.
Yeah.
And they go outside and they all embrace each other. Ergo is now back from being a tiger.
Well, they just before they escape, I think, doesn't Colwyn say, you know, we must go and rescue Ergo? He risked his life to save us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Did he, though?
He didn't, though, did
he? You weren't there when that happened.
No. For all you know, he could have been hiding in a cupboard.
Yeah, he might have been, you know. They haven't been up to much, have they, those guys?
No. No, they haven't. They've just been sort of hiding in a corridor.
Mm.
So they get away, and then the fortress kind of collapses up into space.
Yeah.
And everyone's free, and as they go home, the narrator again says that the son of the queen and the king went on to rule the galaxy.
This is it given to known. It is known to me. It is given. I know this. But I am dead. So how am I saying this?
Who is saying this? Ooh, it is a gibbon I have been given.
Their son shall rule the galaxy, which we know about somehow. And also, he's going to have to get a bloody move on, isn't he? Bloody hell, how... When?
And it's going to be a long time before they have the sun with the way Colwyn does it.
Yes. But also, there's a moment just before the end of this film where they're watching. They're obviously not watching it. The characters are supposed to be watching the Black Fortress break up and float into space.
Mm.
And actually, I was just thinking, you know, Todd Carty sitting there and they're all, sitting in a lovely Italian meadow with Lizette Anthony in her prime. That's been a lovely day.
Can you imagine?
Day's worked. A little bit of a run across a meadow and then a big sit down.
Yeah, love that.
Hours on end. Because it sort of just ends, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And because there's no one near, because the castle just disappears.
Yes.
It's made no impact on anything at all.
No. What should have happened is they'd have been sitting there and then Bernard Breslau's corpse who just fell and landed like flattened. 5 feet away from them.
But or just floated down like Flat Stanley. Like the cartoon's been pressed.
A wafting piece of paper.
Yeah, just you can see his whole face and hands just squished up.
And just see Lan's trousers fall down. It's like, oh, that's it's a shame. The ultimate humiliation for him there.
Oh, dear. Didn't see that coming, did he? What a disappointing ending.
I genuinely think overlooking a few bits and pieces here and there, that up until the Widow of, after the Widow of the Web finishes, up until that point, I was really like, this is actually really fun.
It is fun. I think that's the thing about this film. It is absolutely a film you can just watch quite lightly. It's absolutely dedicated to just being a bit of fun, isn't
it? Yeah.
I mean, the gritty why has there been no gritty reboot? That's what I want to know.
Well, apparently there is going to be one at some point.
Oh, is there? Oh,
yeah. God. Ken Loach is doing it.
You put that glaive in the bin.
He's like Kez. He's got a little glaive that he flies on the weekends. Yeah.
He killed my glaive.
Bastard. Yeah, I think the music really helps, and the fact that it looks beautiful and
equity actors giving their all, with some very limited, because Liam Neeson is really charming in it, isn't he? He's sort of, he does have star quality.
I think at this point he was going out with Helen Mirren.
Good Lord. Mm. Yeah, well, it's like TMZ over here.
It is. I got so much goss for you.
Yeah. Oh, dear. But no, I recommend it as a film, except it's flawed. It's like Clash of the Titans or one of those. It's one of those non...
Sword and the Sorcerer.
It's just... It's fine.
It is. I think it's not going to blow you away.
Because it was a massive flop, wasn't it? It was massively unpopular. Flop. Yeah, it has so many flaws, but also it's got so many things in it that you go, oh, well, it's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Except for lovers of expertly crafted finales.
That's right, yeah. I think if they'd have brought in someone who's really good at writing endings, this would have been a classic.
Yes,
It just collapses. And as I say, you need another baddie to be the buffer between the Beast and Colwyn.
Yes, to humanise the Beast, or to find more about the Beast, or presumably in a gritty reboot. That's what you do.
You'd put like Lissa a head slayer in who's like a real evil bastard.
And Lissa would have something to do.
Yeah.
And one of the bandits would be a traitor, or something.
Exactly. Ray Winston. I'm a double agent. I'm a triple agent.
Or, you'd unzip Cracker and Boone would actually be in there.
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Like at the end of that Harry Potter film where you look down his gullet and Boone sat right down the bottom. Help!
Good Lord, really?
No, that doesn't happen.
Oh, right. I haven't watched them,
You unzip Cracker and there's a two up, three down. Or three up, two down.
Yeah, the rest of the cast.
Well, because you've got two of them in this. So you've got Elphick and Anthony. You just need, is it Angela Thorne?
Angela Thorne and...
The one from Operation Good Guys.
Operation Good Guys, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. But there's Krull. If I was to score it out of 10, I'd give it a solid 5.
Yeah. I'd give it a 7 for old time's sake.
Yeah, maybe
actually. And the, beautifully shot. But no, it's not much more than a 6 at best. No.
I love the soundtrack, though. I do listen to the soundtrack a lot. It's good.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's from a... It's from a better film, probably.
Yeah, it is. Star Trek 2. Well, Dan, thank you very much for talking to me. Oh,
thank you for allowing me to watch a childhood classic. It's slightly ruining it.
Well, we should do another. We should make this our little niche, going back and watching.
Yeah.
Because I'd definitely like to watch Hawk the Slayer again.
Oh, my God. Especially I think that may actually be worse.
I think it will, but it's free on YouTube.
Oh, dear. Mm. Oh, no, that's not good, is it?
No.
I've got it on DVD.
Have you?
Right.
Yeah. I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah. Lovely. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I was standing in a crowded bus the other day when a pretty girl stood on my toe. And as I gazed into her eyes of blue, this thought kept running through my brain. You need feed. To stand up straight with. You need feet to kick your friends. You need feet to keep your socks on and stop your legs from frying at the end. You need feet to walk, to scuffle, or to dance the hoochie-coo.
ran away from you. Yes, folks, have you ever stopped to think what wonderful things feet are? Have you? Think of all the things you can do with just one pair of feet. If you hear a lilting melody, you can tap them. If you lose your temper, you can stamp them. And when you get home after a hard day's work, you can soak them. Yes, folks, feet are not to be sniffed at. So whether you're rich or whether you're poor, put your best foot forward, keep your feet on the ground, look the whole world in the feet and say, you need feet to walk, to scamfold, or to dance the hoochie-coo. Yes, the whole world needs feet for stamping, and I need feet to run away from you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.